Every time I come here, I get a great big blessing. It's such a joy in the spirit and the attitude of how the service happens and takes place. In just a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about the church. But before that, I would like to give you a thank you. Glad to have my wife here today. There was about 3 months ago, Craig and I, we thought we were going to have to put her down. But she survived all that, and she's back on her feet. And I think it's because your church and our church and a lot of churches and people all over were praying for her. And I want to thank you for those prayers. And I know she wants to thank you also for those prayers. And don't stop, because she still needs prayer, but she's so much better, and we're glad. You know, God has ordained three institutions in this world, and they are very serious to God. The first institution that God ordained in this world was marriage. And you know, that's the oldest institution. God made Adam, and then he made Eve, and then he, I don't think they called it marriage back then, but he put them together, and they became a couple, a married couple. And that was the first institution that God ordained. Then the second institution that God ordained was government. And sometimes when our government acts like they do, I wonder what's happened. What's going on? But have you ever really thought to think what chaos we would have without government? I mean, just coming here today without red lights and stop signs and street signs and laws and policemen and all the things that go into being a part of government, this would really, really be a dangerous place to live if we didn't have government and we didn't have rules and regulations. So the first institution that God ordained was the marriage. The second institution that God ordained was the government. And then the third institution that God ordained didn't happen until New Testament times, and that was the church. And God brought the church into existence. And it's the church is just, I think, as important to God as the home, the marriage, and just as important to God as government, because he said, I'm going to put my church here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church has been through a lot, you know. The church, it has been persecuted. They're, you know, thinking about those three institutions that God has ordained, the home, the government, and the church. Who loves to tear those up? Satan loves to tear those up. If Satan can tear up a home, he said, I got a victory. If he can tear up a government, he says, I've got a victory. If he can tear up a church, he said, I've got a victory. And so it's not like the church is this perfect place that God ordained and put it here, but we also have to know and to understand that God also said that no matter what comes against it, the church is going to survive. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so I think that the church is really important to the Lord. I've told you this before, I think, but I'm one of those Sunday school sissies. My parents took me to church the first time when I was 5 days old. So I've been going to church now over 70 years. And going to church, I had classes, and they called them Sunday school classes. And you know what? We had one teacher, bless her heart, she spent 12 months while we were in her class trying to teach us how to say John 3:16. And it was really hard. We were just little bitty guys, and it was really hard just to learn John 3:16. But it's so funny. One of the things that she taught us was a little thing about the church, and you've probably seen this before. She said, okay, guys, hold your hands up like this. Now put your fingers together. And we did. We put our fingers together. And let's see if I can get this right. I learned this so long ago. And she said, all right, this is the church. And this is the steeple. and these are the people. I never forgot that. Had a hard time remembering those scriptures, but I never forgot that part, you know. But it made a lasting impression on me. Even at my age now, if I can get my fingers right, I can still do it. But I want to talk today about what a clear picture of the church really is. And I want to talk about what our responses ought to be to the church. So, I know you have on your bulletin, you have an outline there, and I'd like to call your attention to that outline. It's a very simple outline, but number one, we find in the Bible that the church is a bride. The church is a bride. B-R-I-D-E. Now, many times in the church, in the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. And I know you're familiar with this one passage of Scripture that we're going to read this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 25, 6, and 7, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it to make it belong to God. Christ used the word to make the church clean by washing it with water. He died so that he could give the church to himself like a bride in all her beauty. He died so that the church could be pure and without fault, with no evil or sin or any other wrong thing in it." Now, a lot of things are stated in that passage of Scripture, those three verses. But I just want to talk just a minute about the church being called the bride of Christ. And we're all familiar with weddings. We go through wedding seasons. We go through times when churches have several weddings, maybe, and it seems like they kind of come in bunches, and we'll do a bunch of them, one right after the other, and then we go a while and we don't have more. But whenever we see what Paul said here, Jesus died for the church that it might become his bride. Now, let me ask you a question. When a wedding takes place, what is the most special, dramatic moment of the event? Think about that. Well, over 49 years as a pastor, I've done hundreds of weddings, maybe thousands, I don't know. I've already done 17 this year. It's a lot of weddings. But to me, the thing that is the most outstanding, the most dramatic, the most exciting thing about a wedding is when the bridegroom or the bride appears in the back. Everybody's waiting. I always like not only to look at her, but I like to look at him. Because the reaction of the bridegroom is sometimes more exciting than it is all the people. But when the bride appears in the back of the aisle, everybody stands up. Everybody gets excited. Everybody is happy. Everybody smiles. And the bridegroom himself, he's just almost beside himself. And the entrance of the bride is the most exciting thing that takes place in the whole wedding. After she comes down and the service begins, everybody else sets down and things go kind of in a normal thing. But we see, have you ever wondered what would happen at a wedding if the bride appeared back there and everybody stood up and everybody was so excited and somebody over on the side said, "Boo, boo, boo, what an ugly gal." Well, first of all, I've never seen an ugly bride. They always look pretty, no matter what they have on or what's going on in their life, they always look pretty. But it's, you know what would happen? That person would probably take a beat down. And probably the bridegroom would lead the way. You know, he'd be upset. If you booed his bride, he would really, really be upset. But you know what? You ask people, "Why are you here at the wedding?" And most of them say, "For the bride." Very few of them say for the bridegroom. They're here for the bride. Listen, in the Bible, it teaches us in this first thought that the church is the bride of Christ. Jesus Christ is the groom, and he is committed to the bride, which is the church. He loves his bride, the church. How much did he love the church? He loved it so much that he died for it. And he eagerly awaits to be reunited with his bride. And we know the scripture teaches that one of these days Jesus will come back and the bride will go to be with him and he will be eagerly awaiting for them. Now, when we consider this, what is going to be our response to that reality? I think you have this on your outline. The response is to commit wholeheartedly. Commit wholeheartedly. Did you know what? The church is so important to God that he sent his own son to die for the church. So let me ask you a question. At our church, I have the one job that I'm not real thrilled about. Every person that's going to get married at our church, whether I'm doing the sermon or not, they have to meet with me first. And we go over the guidelines for a wedding, to have a wedding at our church. And, you know, I've never had anybody ever come in or a guy come in and say, you know what, I'm not really sure I want to marry her. You know, I don't know. I'd like to just keep dating her. No, those guys come in there, man, they're ready to get married. They want to get married right now. But let me ask you, if you were a lady, and there are a lot of you ladies here this morning, if you were a lady and a guy said to you, I really don't want to get married, I just want to keep dating you. You know what? That wouldn't work. Probably wouldn't last long. But people do this all the time. They date the church forever. You ever think about that? You know, you should date a church just for a little while, and you should check it out and find out for sure what it is. Make sure it's not a cult, and if that's the place that your family should be or you should be, then you ought to be committed to get in that church and become a part of it. Once you know that, you're supposed to put the ring on. You know, if a guy said, I'm going to date you for 10 years and then I'll decide if I'm going to marry you, you'd think that guy was crazy, wouldn't you? And that girl probably saying, I think I'll find somebody else. And we sometimes treat the church that way. We say, well, I'm just going to date the church. I'm not going to join the church. I'm not going to make a commitment. Listen, you need to commit wholeheartedly to the church because it's the bride of Christ. And dating's all right, but listen, if you just date the church, you cheat yourself. You're missing out on the blessings of being a part of the church. You can't really experience what church is until you become a part of it. And then not only that, you cheat the church community. You know, the others that will benefit from you being in the church, they get cheated. If it's the place where God wants you, you need to get in the church. And then on top of all of that, you cheat the world. You know, every one of us that are Christians, we have a part to play in what God wants us to do in this world. And God teaches us in his word to do this through the church. Now it's commercial time. I noticed in your bulletin that October the 1st is membership class. If you've been dating the church for a while, why don't you get married? Why don't you join the church? Why don't you get involved? Why don't you make a wholehearted commitment? Well, if I join the church, they'll expect some things out of me. Did you ever know a man and a woman that got married that they didn't expect some things from each other? I tell you what, that's just part of being married. Things are expected. And so I want you to understand this church, this bride of Christ is so important. He died for it. But we need to get wholeheartedly connected to it so that we can use it for our benefit and for the church's benefit and for the whole world's benefit. Okay, the second one. In the Bible, the church is called a family. A family. Now, this one's really interesting. The power of Christianity is not only changing the lives of individuals, but it also creates a whole new community. Now, I look out over this morning, and this is pretty much true of any church in Southern California. There are all sorts of people here this morning. There are all different nationalities of people here this morning, and there's people with different educational abilities and standards that they've reached. All kinds of people here this morning. What brings us together? What makes us a family this morning? What makes us come together this morning? It's because we all have a common denominator, and that common denominator is Jesus Christ. That's what makes us a family. So the power of the Christianity is not just to change our lives, but it's to create a whole new kind of community in our life. And in the midst of a broken world, a world that has been divided throughout history by gender and race and class and political ideology and all these other things, the church is the place of hope, where people who were once separated from God and each other become God's children and part of God's family. I'm not going to sing, I promise, but there's an old song, "I'm a part of the family of God." That's a great song. And it's a great thought for us to think about this morning. I'm a part of the family of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 19 says this: "So you are no longer strangers and outsiders. You are citizens together of God's people. You are members of God's family." There it is in the Bible. Remember, many, many times it says that the church is the bride of Christ. Now the scripture is saying that we're part of the family of God. Now, here's the point that's being made in this thought. All those who've opened their hearts to God's grace are now part of a big spiritual family. And God knows that we need the support of a healthy family to make it in our life. You know, stuff happens in our lives, and we need our family. And things happen to us spiritually, and we need our family. You know, there's 58 times in the New Testament that the Bible says one another. I don't get excited, I'm not going to do all of them. But let me just give you some of them. You'll recognize them. Love one another. Care for one another. Serve one another. Help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another. That's just five or six of them. There's 58 times just in the New Testament it tells us to do that for one another. Think about that. God never meant for us just to attend a church. He meant for us to get in and be part of the family. And you know, in a family, there's giving and receiving. And that every family's that way. Every family's that way, giving and receiving. One of the myths that goes something like this, that you can grow spiritually mature by yourself. You can't do that. It's impossible. That'd be like if you went to the hospital and had a baby, and you brought that baby home from the hospital, and you had a crib and a room and everything all set up, and you put it in that room, and you started out, and you said, "Okay, baby, we got you here. You're on your own." How long would that baby make it? Not very long. That baby would not make it very long. If you did everything for it, you got it here, you had the right bed, the crib, the safety, and all the stuff, but you just walked off after you got it home and said, "Okay, you're on your own," that baby would not live. And how can we as Christians grow and live and be mature if we say, "I can do that by myself"? Well, it's very clear that you can't do that by yourself. There are a lot of things that enter into this. There are things that people need. There's things, you know, when a person becomes a Christian, what does the Bible tell them to do first? Be baptized. After they get baptized, get in the church. Become a part of the church. After you get in the church, then be a part of small groups. Be a part of what's going on. Get yourself involved. And you know, when you think about this, I've been a pastor for a long, long time. And this thing of being connected to other people, it really works. We are, as Christians, we are family. Now, let's talk about the third one. This may be a touchy subject for some of us, but the Bible also says the church is a body. A body. The church is so close to the heart of God, so central to His redemptive work in this world, that He calls it, listen, the body of Christ. As we express our union with Him through worship or service or showing love in the world, we become a physical manifestation of our Savior on this earth. But the Bible says, and we're going to use some scripture in just a moment, that when you're in the church, you're a part of the body of Christ. Now, I would encourage you to read all of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, sometime maybe if you get a chance this week on your own. But I'm going to only read one verse just for sake of time and for the message. All of us together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a part of it. All of us, listen, together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. Now, there's some funny illustrations that go with this, and some of them I'm not going to use. But let's just think about what the Apostle Paul says. He says to us in his writings, he said, if everybody in the church was an ear, who would speak? If everybody was a mouth and nobody had any ears, who could listen? That'd be mass confusion, wouldn't it? And he said, everybody's not a hand, everybody's not an arm, but every person is a part of the body of Christ. Each and every one of us are a part. This entire chapter on the body of Christ, the church, and how each one has a part to play. Did you know every week in a church, any church, these churches do not run on magic Jesus dust. You came in this morning and it's a clean, beautiful auditorium. I bet it wasn't clean and beautiful when everybody left last week. Somebody cleaned this building. And then all the children's places and all the toys and all the places that have been fixed, the rooms that have been decorated, all the places, those don't just happen. Little Jesus fairies don't fly in every week and do all the cleaning and dusting magically, and all the rooms don't get set up. Maybe I've watched too much Tinkerbell, I don't know. But it doesn't happen that way. That's not how a church works. A church works like a body. And every part of the body is important. It's such a crazy thing when you think about it. If you actually, and I don't know everybody what they do in this church, but if you were to start asking people, stand up and say what you do in this church every week, some would say, I pray for everybody. Some would pray, I pray for the sick. Some would say, I do clean the building. Some would say, I set up the rooms. I help paint, or I help put this new sound system. Everybody has a different thing that they can do as a part of the body. But it doesn't happen magically, and these little fairies don't show up and do it. People, real people, have to do those things in every church. It's amazing to me at our church, East Lake Church in Chula Vista, last weekend, and some of these people, some of the stuff they do, I couldn't do it. Last weekend, we had over 1,700 volunteers. And they did parking lot, greeting, bathroom cleaning, children's ministry. One time they asked me if I'd like to go help in the two-year-old department. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. They'd have me for murder one if I went in there. I'm not cut out for the two-year-old department, you know. Somebody'd get hurt, probably. But seriously speaking, somebody has to go in the two-year-old department. Worse than all of that is the baby nursery. Last weekend we had 188 babies in diapers. Somebody has to do that. Now they had 50 or 60 or 70 volunteers because there's five services. But my point is this, those things don't just happen at any church. Whether it's a large church or a middle-sized church or a smaller church, it's the body of Christ that gets those things done. And we all do what God has gifted us to do. So what's the response to this? If I'm a part of the body of Christ, the response is to serve passionately. You say, well, I couldn't get on the stage or I couldn't play one of those instruments. I can't do anything like that. Then you don't have to. They'll not ask you to. But get involved. Be involved. Be a part of the body. People say, I just don't feel like I'm growing anymore. You know, going back to the baby illustration about taking a baby home and just leaving it in a room. If you took a baby home and you didn't just leave in the room, you took care of it, you fed it, you bathed it, you changed its diaper, you did all the right things for that baby, and that baby got to be 12 months old, and it was still the same size it was when you brought it home from the hospital, would you be concerned? You immediately would take that baby to the doctor, wouldn't you? Find out what's wrong with it. Well, people say, I don't feel like I'm growing anymore. I'm not getting much out of church anymore. These are always symptoms of people's diminished investment and involvement. People who are not invested in the body of Christ and people who are not involved in the body of Christ, this is a feeling that they get. Are you serving on a team? Are you helping make things happen? Did you pray for others? Do you pray for the services this week? Do you pray for what God wants to accomplish in the church? Do you receive give recently and financially to invest in what God is doing in the church? Heart always follows treasure. Listen, we are to be involved as the body of Christ in the work of the church. Number three, the Bible says that the church is a building. The church is a building. Now, when we think about this, we have got to look at a scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. It says, you are also like living stones, so let yourself be used to build a spiritual temple, to be holy priests, who offer spiritual sacrifices to God. All right. Take a look at the church. Think about it. A building. Now, don't get confused. This building is not the church. The Bible teaches that the church are the people that are the bride of Christ, that are a part of the body of Christ. See, that's the church. That's the real church. It's not the building. These are biblical metaphors. And you know, sometimes they strike pictures in our mind about the church. But we need to understand this. We say this all the time at our church. These buildings are not the church. The people are the church. And you know what? If all these buildings, and I guess it could happen in California, If all these buildings fell down this week, there'd still be a church here next Sunday. Maybe not right in this spot, but the church would still be here. The people, the body, the people that make up the church. They could burn, they could fall down, but the church would still exist. It doesn't matter where we meet, because we're the church. The people are the church. Like my illustration, here's the church, here's the steeple, here's the people. That's the church, the people. The Bible says that this church we're talking about is composed of living stones. That's us. We make up the church. We talk sometimes about the physical body, and we have messages about the physical body, and I'm sure Pastor Craig has brought those types of messages, but we say our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that passage reveals that each one of us as an individual, we come together, and then when we all come together, we make up a spiritual temple. And we offer spiritual sacrifices to God. What does that mean? That means coming together to worship corporately. Gatherings just like this. You will experience God in congregational worship when all the living stones come together. And sometimes in ways that you never even know, you're going to have the most wonderful personal worship. When the church is gathered together to publicly worship and to hear God's word taught, something supernatural takes place. I can't always explain it. Just while we were singing this morning, a couple of those songs really touched my heart. And I experienced something in this worship service that maybe none of you experienced, but I did. And it was very special to me, but something happens like that, and that's why we meet every week. You know, church is not a random idea or an extracurricular activity. It's instructed in the Bible. Hebrews 10:25 says, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. In other words, we are told to meet together. But what happens when we meet together, then we as God's people, and when we meet together, we're called a building of living stones. We need to make attending church a priority. Now, when you miss a weekend worship experience, you miss out on a unique moment with God and His church that will never happen again. And I know this is a holiday weekend. I'm thrilled to see all of you here today. I always had this recurring dream all the years I was a senior pastor that I would get up and go to church on a holiday weekend and nobody would be there, not even my wife. Honestly, I had that dream for nearly 50 years. And that's a nightmare for a pastor. It's not just a dream, that's a nightmare. And I'm thrilled that you're all here today. But this is the thing that we're talking about. And I'm not trying to lay guilt on anybody or anything. What I'm trying to get you to do this morning, to see what the church really is and get yourself totally involved in the church. Now, I know some of you, out of this many people, some of you already are totally involved in the church. And there are some of you probably that are partially involved in the church. And then there are some of you, you might even be a member of this church, but you're really not totally involved yet. Well, I'm trying to encourage you today to get the most out of church. You know that old saying, you get out of something what you put into it? Your church life is the same way. You're going to get out of your church just what you put into it. You don't put anything into it, you're going to be one of those people who say, I'm just not getting anything out of church. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the deacon's fault. It's your fault then. If you're not putting anything into it, you're not going to get anything out of it. what we're talking about, you get encouraged through friendships, and you find meaning in using your gifts, whatever they are. Maybe your gift, you laughed at me a while ago when I said I couldn't go in the two-year-old. Maybe your gift is you absolutely could go in the two-year-olds and do a fantastic job. Whereas I couldn't. Using our gifts, we can have these great experiences. Now, let me say something. None of us are more important than the church. And even though we're a Christian, and if we're a Christian, we're part of the church, the body, and all of that of the church. But nothing is going to stop the church. You look back on history and you see persecution hasn't stopped it. Theological controversy hasn't stopped it. Scandal hasn't stopped it. Poor leadership hasn't stopped it. Cheesy Christian movies and bad t-shirts haven't stopped it. Hypocrisy hasn't stopped it. People with doubts haven't stopped it. People who run the church down haven't stopped it. As a matter of fact, nothing has stopped or can stop the church of the living Christ. Because God promised the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's the most amazing part of it to me, because I know me. I'm a sinner. I'm not perfect. I'm not even close to perfect. I'm a bad person saved by grace through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the most amazing thing about the church to me is? I'm invited to be a part of it. We're invited into it. The greatest living organization that the world has ever known, the Church of Jesus Christ. And he is still building his church. And you and I, as imperfect as we are indispensable to what God wants to get done in this world. And that includes you and me. That's pretty fantastic, isn't it? You think about that. We didn't deserve salvation, and he saves us by grace. He died for us. He shed his blood, paid the price for our sin, and we can become a Christian. And when we become a Christian, then we have the opportunity to become a part of the church that he loved so much he died for it. And then we see changes in our lives and changes in our community that are astounding. We have a lady on our staff at East Lake Church. I think she came to our church about 8 or 10 years ago. And she came in bad shape. She was Jewish, and so she didn't believe in Jesus. She had just gotten divorced. She had a broken marriage. She had a baby that had just died 3 months before she came to East Lake Church. And she was an alcoholic. Now add all that up. She was a mess. She had more issues than you could shake a stick at. And she came because somebody asked her to come. Oh, you say, I wouldn't invite anybody like that to my church. That's what the church is for, is people like that. Sinners that need Jesus. Don't ever believe that old story. We don't want anybody like that in our church. That's where we all came from. But she came. And eventually, someone led her to Christ. And then she began to take steps. She first went to AA and got herself dried out. And then she had a lot of counseling. And she had lost that baby, and she was mad at God. And she'd lost her husband, and she hated marriage, and she hated God. But she began one thing at a time. She didn't get all these straightened out overnight. And all these didn't get straightened out just because she accepted Christ as her Savior. That was the beginning point. And then she went to AA and got off the alcohol. And then you could talk to her. And then she did some other things. And step by step, she made progress. And about 6 years ago, She became a part of the staff at East Lake Church. And about 2 years ago, she got married again. This past February, she had a beautiful baby boy. And I mentioned a while ago, last weekend, we had 1,700 volunteers last weekend. She's the one that is in charge of all those volunteers. Now just think where she started, and then think what Christ did for her and what the church did for her, getting into the church and getting involved. Just think, her name's Amy. Just think what God did for Amy. He can do for you, He can do for me. Now, I want us to take and do this a little different here at the end. I want us to take a moment of silence to consider, each one of us personally, what your next step or my next step is going to be. What's God saying to you today? Let's bow our heads. And I know it seems like an eternity, a long time in a service like this, but I want us to take 20 seconds. And I want each one of you to think, what's God doing in my life today? How about my church life? Okay, think of this. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as yet, we want to give you an opportunity to come to Christ today. And there are a lot of people here who would pray with you and talk with you if you want to make that decision today. Because, you know, that's the first prerequisite to getting in the church and becoming a part of the body of Christ and part of the bride of Christ and all these things we've talked about. You have to first accept Christ as your Savior. And maybe that's what God's dealing with you in your heart today. And maybe there are others of you today that God's dealing with you for some other things. How valuable are you to your church? How much a part of your church? You need to find a place or a role to fulfill your part. Help us here at Venice Church to be a part of the body of Christ, to show the love of Christ to the rest of the world through the way we serve in our church and our community and to the whole world. This is not about us making our own name great. It's Jesus and all about Him. And may Jesus' name be great over our lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for this opportunity to be in Your house. And we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be a part of Your bride and a part of Your family and a part of the body of Christ and the part of a building. God, You've laid it out for us in the Scripture. And we pray this morning that Your will, Your way would be done in each and every one of our lives and in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.